Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week. So I have taught more on the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today than probably any other single passage in the entire Bible, and here's why. Back when I was in school, in high school and college, I had a good friend named Nelson, and Nelson was the kind of friend that I always wanted to be around because he was always up for a new and interesting adventure, and about 75% of the time it would land us into trouble. Maybe you've had a friend like that as well. But one night, Nelson came by my house, and he picked me up, and we went out to Lake Nasworthy Dam, and the dam overlooks the city of San Angelo as a storm was rolling in across West Texas. Nelson set up his tripod, put his camera up there, opened the shutter, and exposed the film to the storm for several minutes, shut the shutter. Several days later, he showed me a picture, and there above the cityscape of San Angelo, there are five lightning strikes that he captured in that time exposure of that photo. What Nelson did was he captured the sum total of the storm's power in that one picture. That's why I like Acts chapter 2, verses 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47. This one paragraph frames perfectly the power of the early church, the sum total of what a church looks like when it's filled with the Holy Spirit's power, when it's filled with the person of Jesus Christ, when it loves God the Father more than anyone else. And in my 25 years of being a pastor, I have never seen that picture fully developed for myself in my own experience. And now more than ever, I want to see that come into focus. So I want you to hear very carefully and very prayerfully this description of the church from the end of Acts chapter 2, and just ask the question, why not? Why can't this be who we are and what we experience as a group of people who follow Jesus together in what's called the church? Acts 2, starting in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and miraculous signs that were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions as anyone who had need. Every day they continued together to meet in the temple courts. Glad, sincere hearts, praising God together and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They devoted themselves. That word right there means to hold on to grasp, to cling to hold fast to. Henry Dempsey was a pilot that was flying between Portland, Maine and Boston, Massachusetts on a little commuter flight. Little indicator light showed that the rear door was open. He went back to check it out, and as he pulled on it, he was actually sucked out of the plane. Co-pilot radioed the tower, made an emergency landing. When they landed, they found Henry Dempsey, the pilot. He had not fallen from the plane, but there for 20 minutes, traveling at 200 miles an hour, Henry Dempsey had held on to the external ladder of this door, and there he clung on. He devoted himself to hanging onto that ladder for dear life, and when he was finally found, it took them several minutes to pry his hand off of that last rung of that ladder. He devoted himself to hanging on. What have you devoted yourself to? What are you hanging on to for dear life? Today I'm not asking you to hold on for dear life to the church. I'm asking you to hold on for dear life to Jesus. And as we hold on to Jesus together, then we experience something in the community, in the church. So I want to talk specifically about how we do that, how we devote ourselves to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give us five characteristics that I see here from Acts chapter 2. These are five things we value as a church And by the way, I've been talking about this until I'm blue in the face. I think these are the things we want to value. But at some point, we have to stop wanting to value these things and just value these things, meaning that everything else can change, but not these. Everything else we can let go of, but these things we devote ourselves to, we hold on to. Here's the first one. We devote ourselves to worship. You see this sprinkled all throughout Acts chapter 2, that they were breaking bread together. That in verse 42, that breaking of bread was considered to be communion, the Lord's Supper. They prayed together. They continued to meet in the temple courts, praising God. This community made worship a priority. They made it a value. So let me encourage you with a couple of things when it comes to worship. Show up, and then show up ready, right? Let's talk about those each in turn. Show up for worship. And I know the pandemic has changed a whole lot of things, and we have capitalized on this using of digital media to get the word out, and we will continue to do that. But it may be time for you to get off your computer and to get here in person, and so we can worship God together. Show up. How do you know when you're ready? Well, if you start going out to restaurants and you start going on vacations, it's probably time to stop making excuses and start practicing obedience and show up for worship. And then show up ready. You know, many times we enter worship, and I do this too, show up, say, well, I hope I like the songs today, and I hope something engages my interest. No. We often think that if we have exciting worship, that it will build our relationship with God. Listen, it's our relationship with God that builds the excitement of worship. And as we have that relationship with God that is intimate and strong, then worship, no matter what form it takes, no matter what songs are given or what message is preached, we are engaged because our relationship with God is vibrant. Show up, and show up ready to worship, expectant to worship. And if worship is flat for you, maybe it says less about your church and more about your own relationship with God that needs to begin to grow again. I read an interesting study on humpback whales. Yes, I read some very interesting things. You probably know humpback whales are renowned and famed for their songs. In fact, I even remember National Geographic back in the day. We had this little flimsy record show up in National Geographic magazine with the songs of the humpback whales. Well, scientists are beginning to discover that humpback whales in the northern hemisphere are different in their songs from humpback whales in the southern hemisphere, because in the northern hemisphere, there's continents and land masses that separate the humpback whales in the Atlantic from those in the Pacific. And so those two groups of humpback whales seem to sing the same songs. They love the classics, and they sing those same songs over and over again. But humpback whales in the southern hemisphere, they're not separated by these land masses. And so one pod will share their songs with the next pod. That pod will share their songs with the next pod. And pretty soon that song will make it all the way around the world. And by the time it gets back to that original pod, the song has changed. Do you see how relationships make for richness? Listen, your relationship with God should be rich. And as a result, we show up to worship and we show up ready, and we can't get enough. We value worship. We also value community. Doing community together, valuing relationships. And you see it here, that the people not only celebrated together, but they suffered together. They shared everything in common. They gave to others as they had need. They continued to meet. They devoted themselves to the fellowship of creating a community of people who follow Jesus and the way of Jesus together. Could I encourage you? Slow down. One of the ways that they shared community here in the New Testament church in this one frame, notice it says down in verse 46 that they broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. We live in a day of fast food. You know what Christianity encourages? Slow food. We slow down. We eat together. Eating together in the biblical framework is saying there's nothing between you and me. We will share a meal together. We will share the goodness of God and relationship with one another. Could I encourage you? Slow down. There's a little thing going on the internet right now. There's a company, and if you like Chick-fil-A, you know that Chick-fil-A, you can get a good, tasty chicken sandwich any day but Sunday. But there's now a company on the internet that will buy Chick-fil-A sandwiches on Saturday and resell them on Sunday, rewarmed. And it will cost you $6.66. I have no idea why that, or maybe I do. Listen, we live in a day that values fast food. Let's value slow food, the building of relationships with one another. I'm not saying that all of your best friends have to be in the church, but some of your strongest friends should be in the community of Jesus. You know what the opposite of intimacy is? The opposite of intimacy is pretense. Sometimes in a church, when we get together, we just pretend everything's okay. We wear the church smile and all that. Enough of that. These are the people we ought to be able to be real with, that we celebrate and we suffer together. What do we value? We value worship. What do we value? We value community, our relationship with God, our relationship with others. We also value Scripture. Here in Acts chapter 2, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So there are two ways for you to try to figure out God. Two ways for you to understand God. One is revelation. The other is imagination. So imagination is something like this. Maybe you've heard people say this before. Maybe you've said it before. Well, I've always thought of God as being, or in my view, God is like this, or the God I worship is this and not that. Many times those are just statements of imagination. But how do we really know who God is? Not by imagination, but by revelation, by picking up the Scripture and saying, here is who God has revealed himself to be in the Bible, and more specifically, here is who God has revealed himself to believe in Jesus Christ. We live in a world that is so confusing. We don't know who to trust anymore. Did you hear the Carolina Panthers, their opening game? There's a truck that continued to drive around the stadium, and it was a big panel truck, and on the side it had these words painted. It says, "Don't get vaccinated, sponsored by Wilmore Funeral Home." And it just kept driving around the stadium. Turns out that was all a hoax. There is no Wilmore Funeral Home. It was a hoax. It was a prank to try to get people to be vaccinated. But you just don't know what you can trust anymore and what kind of message is being given. Listen, here we find certainty on who God is, not just in the printed page of the Scripture, but in the Word made flesh in Jesus Christ. I haven't heard anybody say this in a long time, but it's good to deal with this when it's not being said than to try to deal with it when it is said. But every now and then I've heard people say, I'm just not being fed anymore. And if you're not being fed, as a friend of mine says, pull up to the table. In fact, I don't think there's any time in our church where there's more of an opportunity to be fed than right now. Every Sunday morning we open the Scripture together. Every community group we say, who is Jesus Christ? Every Wednesday night in our groups, we open the Bible and say, what is God saying to us today? And by the way, every midweek update, I'm encouraging us this year to read two chapters of the Bible every day. The midweek update, I just give a little distillation of, here's what to look for, here's what this means, here's how you can apply this to your life. There's an opportunity for us to know God through the Scripture because that's what we value. Let's not want to value the Scripture, let's value the Scripture. Worship, community, Scripture. We also value service. We value serving other people. So now, there are two ways that you can walk into a room, all right? The first is to walk in the room in a selfish way. You walk in a room and you say, here I am. And we've all done that. We've all done that, and we think that we're God's gift to the room. Here I am. Second way to walk into the room is a more servant-oriented way. We walk into a room, instead of saying, here I am, we say, here you are. And we focus on the people who are around us, and we say, how can I serve you, and how can I serve you, and how can I serve you today? I don't believe I'm overstating it when I say this, that right now may be an opportunity for our church to have the biggest impact we have ever had before through serving the world around us. What we've been doing with our caring centers has been amazing, and what it's done is it's teed us up for this time right now. You know, we have Afghan refugees moving in to our community. What an opportunity to serve them by, and we're beginning to get the word out. If you have a place to house refugees coming in, what a great way to serve. But everyone can be involved in raising bathroom items for these people coming in with absolutely nothing. We're going to serve them and serve them well. We have something we're not quite ready to roll out, but I'm going to say this winter, our church will be a part of a larger community event, and we'll be one of the sponsors of that to be able to take care of people this winter. I wish I could tell you more right now, but we need to develop this just a little bit more until we can roll it out. And personally, I am very much encouraged by what we're doing through Compassion International. We have already built two compassion centers, one in Mexico, one in Haiti. We are going to build another compassion center. We raised the funds for this last year. We'll build one in Bangladesh. And this year, we're going to build two more. We're going to fund the building of two more in Bolivia and Burkina Faso. Do the math on that. That's 5 compassion centers that we will have built in 3 years. And each one will serve several hundred children in parts of the world that probably you are pulling out a map right now to figure out where they are. But these are real people made in God's image, and we get to serve them together. Listen, the world will not care where we stand until they see how we serve, because we value service. When I walk into the church, it's not here I am. We walk into the church, we look at the world, and we say, there you are, and we serve. Let's stop wanting to value these things, and let's just value them. The last thing we value, worship, community, scripture, service, we value the good news. Every day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. So Sunday morning, tell you what, I've been a pastor for 25 years, and I've not seen something quite like this yet, and I hope to see more of this, but Sunday morning, we made a very simple presentation of the gospel and said, if you've never been baptized, let's do that today. 5 people were baptized on Sunday. I loved seeing that. I loved being a part of that, seeing what God was doing in the lives of others. And I say, boy, I could do that every Sunday. Well, why not? Why not do that every Sunday? That every time we meet together, we expect to see somebody's lives changed. What would it be like to show up to church whenever we have a worship time and just say, I wonder whose life God is going to change today? I don't know about you, but this picture that I see in Acts chapter 2, the sum total of the church's power, I not only want to see it in the church then, I would love to see it in the church today. What are we doing here? Why are we even here? We are here to glorify God in all we do. We are here to develop Jesus followers who then become difference makers for this big wide world of people who are far from God. Why can't we see that now? My favorite part of this picture in Acts chapter 2 is when it says in verse 43, they were filled with awe. Okay, so here's what we do. We provide the obedience. If we say, if this is what the church is supposed to be, let's do these things. Let's value worship. Let's value community. Let's value scripture and service and the good news of the gospel. Let's value those things. We give the obedience. But listen, all of that will just be going through the motions unless God provides the awe. Let's ask Him, God, would you give us the awe about who you are and what you want to do in our world today. So let me be very direct, and let me ask you, we drop a couple of things. Let's quit being petty. So many things that happen in a church that just don't matter. And you know, are the things going on in this church right now that I don't like? Yes. But you know what? Some of those things are just really petty. Let's let them go. Let's focus on all. Let's quit being angry. Our culture is saturated in anger. Should not be the body of Christ. It should not be the church. Leave your anger at the door. And if you want to continue to be an angry person, go to a different church. Let's not be petty. Let's not be angry. And let's not be distracted. There are 1,001 issues that make all of our blood pressure go up just a little bit. But the only issue that we really want to give ourselves to is the awe of God. Let's ask for that awe. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit to be present in our church, that God would be working through people's lives and we would see lives changed every single time we're together. So I'm a runner, and I've never run a marathon. And if you like to run marathons, you have fun, you knock yourself out. That's not going to be me. I've had several people invite me to do that. And it's like, you know, I've got enough things to be competitive about. But if you run marathons, God bless you, by the way, you know that a marathon is 26.2 miles. So why 26.2 miles? Well, I thought until recently that marathons, it goes back to the 5th century, the Persians were fighting the Greeks at Marathon, and when the Greeks prevailed, there was a runner, his name Philippides. He ran all the way from Marathon back to Athens to give the good news of victory, and when he got there, he fell over dead. Now, that's a pretty good reason not to run a marathon. The first guy who did it died, but so the approximate distance between Marathon and Athens was about 25, 26 miles. So where did it become 26.2 miles? Well, that's a rather recent development. In the 1908 Olympics in London, the marathon was run. It began in front of Windsor Castle, and it ran all the way to the new Olympic Stadium and in front of the box of the King of England. And that exact distance was 26.2 miles from the front of Windsor to the Olympic Stadium to the King's Box. 26.2, and for some reason, that exact measurement stuck. And that's what we run marathons today. Listen, today as followers of Jesus, we don't run sprints. We run marathons. I don't know how far we're going to have to run. Who knows how much life God has given us and how much life he has given this church. But as long as it is today, let us run. And let us run all the way, no matter how far it is, all the way to the King. And let's not stop until we get there. And may every stride we experience be that of awe. So listen, I'm inviting people who are here Sunday that if this is the kind of church you want to be a part of, let's get involved right now. Let's value these things of worship and community and scripture and service and good news. I don't know about you, that's the kind of church I want to be a part of. So if you're ready, get here in person next week. Be here. If you've not joined this church, you can join this church. You can even send me an email this week and we can get that done. Let's become a part of this church to follow Jesus and the way of Jesus together, to declare to the world that Jesus is King and to dare to live our lives based on that truth. Jesus, thank you that we are not alone, and thank you that you have given us a picture of power of what the church with you can look like. And I pray that over my own church. We're not there yet. But I can see this picture beginning to come into focus. Help us to reset and to refocus as a church. Thank you that we are not the church we were before the pandemic, but we are not yet the church we need to be and after the pandemic. But we're getting there, and we can only get there if we're obedient and if we're struck with awe by you. That's my prayer for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.